This is Passing Judgment, a podcast about the law and how it affects you. I'm your host, Loyola Law School professor Jessica Levinson. Think of me as your personal law professor as we navigate the big legal questions of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers. Hey, everybody, it's Jessica, and I can't quite believe I'm saying this again, but here is a breaking news episode of the Passing Judgment podcast. This has been a relentless news cycle, and today what I want to talk to you about is President Joe Biden's decision not to seek the Democratic nomination to be president once again. And this is obviously a huge political story and also a legal story as well. I've been getting lots of questions over the last about 22 hours since this announcement was made. Now, things could change, at least politically, but I want to bring you answers to what I think are your most frequently asked questions right now. So the first big question, I think, is just what is going to happen politically? And as I record this conversation on the morning of July 22nd, it looks like people are really coalescing around Kamala Harris. And by people, I mean Democrats. And that there is a decision that, given that this is the end of July, that the election is in November, that this is unprecedented to have the front runner step aside at the end of July, I think there is a decision that it's better to quickly unite against one person. And the obvious person here, for reasons that I'll talk about, is Vice President Kamala Harris, than it is to have a quote unquote open convention or even brokered convention. Now, I think there are still some people who say we don't want it to look like or be that Kamala Harris is anointed. We still want people to feel that they are at least indirectly able to weigh in by having their delegates look at other potential competitors, by having a fuller airing of the issues. But right now, it looks like that's not the path. That Democrats instead are saying, we need to all get together. I think they're looking at what happened last week in the Republican convention, where everybody was united against Trump, and they want to get this Harris and then fill in the blank, whoever her running mate will be, ticket literally on the road to talking to those swing voters in the swing states. Now, then the question, of course, becomes who would Vice President Harris pick as her running mate? And I'll get there. But at this point, my best guess is that it really looks like everybody's coalescing around Vice President Harris. And things could change. I suspect that there are a number of very ambitious Democrats who just don't want to be the first to jump in and say, I am going to challenge Vice President Harris. But once one person does, then that could open the floodgates and we could see others jump in as well. So what about actually picking a nominee? Well, legally speaking, this is really up to the convention to pick a nominee. And precedent indicates that courts defer on these questions. This is really a question for the DNC about how they want to run their convention. Now, reporting indicates that there's going to be a meeting later this week to talk about potential rule changes for the convention. That is within the DNC's right. But again, this is not a question of ballot access. This is a question about how a private organization, the Democratic National Committee, wants to run their convention. Now, one really important thing to remember, I keep getting questions of, well, who could replace Biden on the ticket? Or who could replace Biden as the official nominee? Biden never was the official nominee. Last week, we only had a presumptive nominee. Today, we don't have a presumptive nominee, but there is no one that's being replaced on a ballot. Again, President Biden was the presumptive nominee. He was not the official nominee until either there was a virtual roll call or there was the convention, and neither one of those things happened. So as I said, the DNC is meeting this week to talk about potential changes to the rules, as is their right. And they could decide that they want to have a pre-convention virtual roll call, or they could decide that they want to have an open convention. And that's really a political calculation. Both avenues, legally speaking, are open to them. Now, we're talking here not about voters picking the next nominee, but we're talking about delegates. So there are almost 4,000 delegates. Almost all of them are now former Biden delegates, meaning these pledge delegates. And there are also about 750 super delegates. So if you saw an open convention, then under the current rules, you need a majority of those roughly 4,000 regular delegates on the first ballot to win. If you don't get that, then we move on to a second ballot. And on the second ballot, those super delegates get to weigh in. At that point, you need to get a little over 2,200 of the overall total delegates, both the pledge delegates and the super delegates to win. One of the key things to remember here is that Biden cannot control his delegates. These are delegates that he won by winning primary elections, but they now become free agents. Now, the Biden campaign approved of these delegates, so they will likely be loyal to him and loyal to his decision to endorse Vice President Harris, but they don't have to be. Anyone who wants to get the nomination will go through the same process. They have to get 300 signatures from the almost 400 regular, meaning non-super delegates. And Kamala Harris will almost certainly be able to get that number of signatures. So the bottom line here for the convention is that the DNC sets the rules for how to obtain the nomination. The acceptance speech is set for August 22nd, and Democrats should stick to that particular deadline for ballot access reasons, meaning to allow states time to print the ballots. But at this point, there's no legal roadblock standing in between Vice President Harris or any other candidate for obtaining the nomination. Just because we are in an unprecedented situation doesn't mean that it's lawless, doesn't mean that it's without procedure. It just means that it's without historical precedent. Now, another big question I'm getting is, what about the money? And one of the big advantages for Kamala Harris as the current vice president is that the best reading of the Federal Election Campaign Act is that she should be able to use the over $95 million that was raised by the Biden-Harris ticket. This is the campaign account that belongs to that Biden-Harris campaign. Now, some Republican campaign finance attorneys have said that they would challenge her ability to tap this resource. And their claim is essentially that Biden can't transfer this money to Harris. I frankly think this claim is dubious. If you look at the language of the Federal Election Campaign Act, it's fairly clear that this is a pot of money that was raised by the Biden-Harris ticket. And there are basically only two candidates who can use this money. One of them is named Joe Biden. He is no longer a candidate. And the other is named Kamala Harris. She is a candidate. Now, it is possible that if this legal question goes to the Federal Election Commission, that commission could deadlock. They are split along partisan lines. If that commission deadlocks, then this question goes to the courts. But again, I think this question really is a straightforward one. Kamala Harris was part of the Biden-Harris ticket. They raised this $95 million plus, and she should be able to use this money. But what if Kamala Harris is not the nominee? Well, at that point, this $95 million plus could be transferred to a federal super PAC, which would then presumably use that money to support the nominee, or to the DNC. It's also important to remember that there's also a lot of other money out there that could be used to support the new nominee. And that's money that's controlled by the DNC and state party organizations. As of the last reporting, that's over $150 million cash on hand. Okay, another question I'm getting a lot. What about the 12th Amendment? And specifically, this brings us to the question of who would Kamala Harris pick as a running mate? And if she picks Governor Gavin Newsom from California, and I don't think that she will for a variety of reasons, but if she did, then we would have a vice presidential nominee and a presidential nominee from the same state, from California. So is that prohibited? Well, the 12th Amendment says that electors cannot cast votes for both a president and a vice president from their own state. So what does this mean in plain English? It means that if both candidates are from the same state, then electors from that state would have to vote for at least one candidate who is not from that state. And this could potentially cost candidates electoral college votes. So let's put this into a real world example here. If a presidential candidate from California, Kamala Harris, selects a vice presidential candidate also from California, Gavin Newsom, then the California electors could only vote for one of them, not both of them. Now, back in 2000, it looked like this might be an issue, and therefore George W. Bush from Texas, when he picked Dick Cheney, also from Texas, Dick Cheney actually changed his residency to Wyoming to avoid this issue. Now, as I said, I don't think we actually get to this point because I think that Kamala Harris will not pick Gavin Newsom, in part because this is, I think, the last thing I want to talk about. Who's she going to pick? Well, number one, she has to pick somebody who she honestly believes could be a heartbeat away from the presidency. And then number two, she has to acknowledge that this is a tight race. We do not have a national popular vote. We have an electoral college vote. And she has to look at those states that she needs to win and pick somebody who's going to help her. Now, there's been a lot of talk of Gretchen Whitmer, governor of Michigan. What about Gretchen Whitmer? Well, as I said before, we're living in unprecedented times and we have never had a ticket with two women. And I just don't think, even though this is 2024 in America, I don't think that the Harris team will pick that arguably riskier route of not just having the first potentially female woman of color who is the president, but also having the first ticket of a vice presidential and presidential nominee who are both women. Another possibility, there's Governor Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is a huge state in play in the Electoral College, and you could obviously see Kamala Harris pick Josh Shapiro for, in part, that reason. Governor Pritzker of Illinois, Governor Beshear of Kentucky, even though that is a Republican state and is unlikely to flip in the Electoral College. Pete Buttigieg, the Secretary of Transportation. Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota, same issue that we just talked about with respect to Governor Whitmer. And even Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey, who's last. Senator Mark Kelly of Arizona. That is a swing state. There aren't as many electoral college votes as there are in Pennsylvania, but Mark Kelly has a compelling resume. He is somebody who was an astronaut. He's had some significant legislative experience in the Senate. So he is a contender for obvious reasons. But again, that is a big political question that will be answered in, I suspect, the next few days. I hope this helped to answer some of your big questions about what is likely to happen now that President Joe Biden has said that he will not seek the nomination. And as always, rate, review, and subscribe, and I'll talk to you soon.